Blog Talk Radio.
Bonjour, mes amis. Comment ça va? Ça va bien. I hope we're all ça va bien. Darlings, it's Mummy, Sybil Brunson. Many of you probably don't remember me from the old days. We haven't been on the air so long. Many of you have passed. Many of my wonderful listeners have passed away from old age. I haven't been on the air so long, but we are coming to you live. Can you imagine live, even if our audience is dead? Gwendolyn and I are here. High atop the Chrysler Building in the revolving ballroom of the Café Berlin. Yes, in the heart of New York City. It's a beautiful late summer, kind of fall-like evening. It's lovely. And we are here with Come Now, Don't Sulk. And it's a show that is meant to, well, it's meant to stir your consciousness and everything. This show is brought to you as part of the Here Be Monsters Network on Blog Talk Radio. The Here Be Monsters Network has other programs, too, at other times of the week, and we are proud to not only be on the Here Be Monsters family network, but we also are returning. This is our second, count them, two seasons. I'm hoping I'll live long enough to be on for 200 seasons. Joining me tonight in the sound booth is Gwendolyn Holdenberry, my producer and my sponsor and my muse. Gwendolyn, how are you tonight?
Fine and dandy. Glad to be broadcasting again.
Gwendolyn, you have to... All right, now, darling, Mummy didn't want to scold you on live radio, but, darling, you must be a little more energetic. You can't be so offhand. We haven't been on in months, darling, months. And here you are. You've never heard me do your voice before, have you? There you go. Now you're there, ladies and gentlemen at home. Yes, Geritol is one of our sponsors tonight. Yes, exactly. Hey, Gwendolyn, there you go. Now we got. Yeah, I stoked her furnace, didn't I, boys and girls? I stoked her furnace. I want to just remind you at home that our sponsor is daughtersofisis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. Do go to their website, Daughters of Isis, that's ISIS. .com. It's all one word. Do check out their fine line of products to stimulate your nose and your spirit and your psyche and your consciousness and your metaphysical presence here on the earth and in the universe. They have wonderful products. I'm wearing one of their fragrances right now. Gwendolyn, it is fall. I know that a lot of our listeners are dreading the winter coming. They love fall, but they dread the winter the way Mummy does. So many of our listeners also have the means of leaving the Northeast, for instance, and going to the tropics or to Florida in the winter. But for those of us that don't, we might need some consciousness, not only expansion, but also salving, some consciousness comforting. What would be a great fragrance for the crowd, the audience tonight to think about getting on daughtersofisis.com that would be perfect for fall? What would be a wonderful fragrance that you'd recommend?
The most perfect thing for fall would be our mugwort mister, which is the essential oil of the mugwort plant, the artemisia. And there's a little sweet blood orange in it with juniper berry. And it's just perfect for setting, and it also clears and cleanses your space. And it's also a wonderful ally for dreaming.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Well, I must say, I've never liked the word mugwort. And I believe that it was my first husband's nickname was mugwort. I've never liked the name, but I do love the fragrance itself. So I'm glad to hear that that's our fragrance for fall. Boys and girls, like I said, do go to daughtersofisis.com while you're listening to the show tonight and check out their products. Gwendolyn, when we signed off at the beginning of the summer, you had a sampler offer that was going on where they had six roll-ons or spray-on, the pocket size fragrances you said that you were offering. Was it six, I believe?
Yeah, it was our lunar SBATs, the different phases of the moon. And our good friend and listener, Pamela Kirk, got some. And I had a few other actually had a couple of calls on that one. I sold quite a few of those. We are also offering a special this upcoming end of September through October of our seasonal florals, which are little pocket-sized roll-ons, too, that'll be on special. So
fabulous. That's wonderful. And those are on the site as well. If they go there, they'll find them.
Yes, I'll find them under Ancestor, the Ancestor Oil Collections.
Wonderful. And those are the little, the wonderful roll-ons, which you can tuck in your pocket or whatever. They're fabulous.
They go any place.
I love it.
And Mommy, we already have a caller waiting.
Okay, well, I'm going to take that call. But before you give me that call, I want to tell everyone tonight that our phone number, so that you can call in, is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. Our topic tonight is what fills you with joy, not happy. What doesn't mean, it's not about being happy. Happy is so surface. What fills you with deep and abiding joy, things that are in your life that you turn to when you want to feel joyful? Let's take our first phone call. Hello?
Welcome back. I'm so glad you're back now. We missed you so much, dear. Hello.
Okay.
Hello.
Lawrence, is that you?
Well, of course. Well, it is a gentleman resident, dear. Oh, Gwendolyn.
All right, Lawrence. Lawrence, darling. Darling, Lawrence, you literally, right now, we're looking at the board in the control room, and you literally are so wired, probably on Xanax, that your voice is literally, half of what you're saying is only being heard by dogs, because it's literally, you've gone to the entire spectrum of not only human hearing, but also in dogs, cats. I see that we have some phone calls coming in from a petting zoo down in Central Park right now. So I'm just going to say, Lauren, that I want you to definitely. Yeah, there you go, darling. Now you're in Mummy's and Lauren and Gwendolyn's range.
Okay. All right. Well, I will say, Gwendolyn, dear, how are you, dear?
I'm doing well. I'm doing so well. It's nice to hear your voice.
Oh, I'm so glad, dear. And we're so glad to have Mummy back, you know, and all the way from Cherry Grove. And her garden is looking so marvelous. And I love her new gay mantis out there, too. He's such a huge. Oh, Mummy's so funny when she talks about
Gwendolyn,
him, you know.
Gwendolyn, isn't it interesting? When Lawrence calls in, I actually appear to the audience at home like an Amish lady. I actually sound like an Amish lady in a prayer vigil compared to Lawrence. And as a matter of fact, some people not only think that I'm an Amish lady, but that I am a dead Amish lady by comparison. Isn't that interesting?
I'm getting a message from
my great friend and puppeteer, Jimmy Rassiopi. He's just typed in a message on the message board saying that the show sounds literally like a Punch and Judy sketch in a theater that is on fire. It sounds like Punch and Judy, like a Punch and Judy troupe that is burning to death right now. That's wonderful. That will definitely boost ratings.
That's good.
Well, that's all right. Oh, I wanted to tell you what brings me all of this. Well, what is it? Pleasure and makes your heart sing. At the end of the rainbow, dear. The end of the rainbow. And it makes you so happy, you know. And I suppose, you know, there's always, you know, rainbows and whiskers on kittens and, you know, bright couple kettles and warm.
Well,
These are few celebrities.
Yes, yes, Lawrence. Lawrence, we're going to have the Jamaican nurse come by. Lawrence, we're going to have the Jamaican nurse come by with your tapioca and your Thorazine if you're not careful. Now, listen, I do want to tell everyone at home that Lawrence is one of the people that does the brilliant graphics that I post on my Facebook page. And I would be willing to bet, Lawrence, that if you admit it, one of the things that brings you so much joy is doing your wonderful, when you're sitting down and you're able to do your great, great art, your photoshopping and everything, and your editing, you are an amazing graphic artist.
Yes.
That must
yes.
give you a lot of pleasure, right?
Oh,
it does good.
Well, I don't do that much, really. I mean, I just sort of push a button here and draw a line over there, and then I steal a lot of things on the internet, you know, and
there to be Anna Winter of internet PR work there.
Yeah. Well, Anna Winter again. If Anna Winter were burning to death. All right. It's like
I always try to help. Sometimes mommy doesn't always think I'm there to help, but mommy. She does rather corral me rather well, I would say, in that she's very tactful and very polite. And she tells me, to the woodshed with you, if you don't stop. Yeah. And she lets me know if maybe I've gone just too, a tad bit too far, you know. But help, it's all to help mommy, of course, you know. And that's
you know, the only
sweet,
person
you know.
I've only heard in my entire life, the only person I've heard hit four different octaves in one sentence before in my life was Florence Foster Jenkins. She was the only person that could say, how now, brown cow? And in those few words, she would have hit four octaves. Florence, you're the only person I know who actually sings everything he says and manages to go from a coloratura to a basso profundo. I've never heard anything like it. You go up and down the scale in a matter of a few words. It's like the Coney Island roller coaster of diction. It's extraordinary to hear that kind of thing. My God, if I had your inflections when I was a young girl, I would have three Oscars by now. And a sore throat probably too. Well, darling, thank you for calling in. I'm seeing we've got another call coming in right now.
Oh, the pleasure has been all mine, Mummy. And you know, there is a party line. Mummy has her party line. And so if anybody wants to call in and chat together, oh, what fun it should be, you know. But anyway, welcome back again, Mummy. I'm so glad to see you back. And I'm glad that hurricane didn't carry you away or whatever they do these days. You know? So
thank you. Thank you, Lauren, so much.
All right. Well, toodaloo, dear. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye, Gwendolyn.
Toodaloo.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good night.
Toodaloo, dear.
All righty. That was Lawrence. Thank you. I want to remind everyone that the phone number is 323-784-9639. Our topic tonight, although it may not seem, you may have been baffled by that whole interaction. I know that our sound crew in the studio workroom right now is like scratching their heads and their ears and rubbing their eyes. Some of them have
that
powder burns from that
place.
Whole conversation. Yes. But our discussion tonight is not about politics. It's not about the nightmare that's going on hourly on the news. Tonight we decided to open the season, Gwendolyn and I, with what gives you joy. Gwendolyn, and I know that you've had a rough summer too. What are things that give you joy? Before you answer, I just want to qualify this for the audience. When I talk to people about this, or when I've taught this in seminars about joy, it is the thing that you are doing or experiencing. It could be alone. It could be with someone. It could be with an animal or a person. It could be in your garden. It could be standing over the stove cooking. It could be knitting or watching a late night movie, a classic film noir at 4 a.m. What are things that fill you with so much peaceful, abiding joy? Listen to this. that you forget yourself. And by forgetting yourself, you become even more of yourself. Actors will often say that there are those moments when they are so in tune with the play they're performing, or something like that. Ballet dancers will say that there are times in performance when they are dancing and they become so one with the music and their bodies and the motion and the movement that they forget themselves completely. And in that moment, they are torn between, sometimes they'll say they feel like they're way, way up in the air looking down at themselves. They're actually observing themselves from a great distance, and that they seem to be a separate person, or that they are so much themselves that they forget themselves, and by that they become even more the real them. It's hard. It's a mysterious place to be. Gwendolyn, what brings that on in you? What brings that on in you?
That's easy, Mommy. For me, it is learning something new, discovering something that also, it may be new information that's been confirmed, but something I've known all along and found out was true. That happens when I'm researching and writing. And I'll tell you another thing that takes me away. You mentioned film noir at 4 a.m. the other night. I watched Watch on the Rhine with Davis and Paul Lucas, and that took me away. It took me to Here and Now, too, but it took me away out of myself. But really, when I learn something new, when I discover something new, because I think that most of us, everyday life and with the stress of life these days and everything, many people walk around in what you could call depression. And yet we have those moments of the day where we truly do get a joyful lift, whether it's smiling at a stranger or, we discover we got a little bump in pay or, just ordinary things that'll bring a moment or two a step outside all of the, you know. And I think that's just the human state, to be honest with you. The older I get, the more I think so.
I venture to say this about you, is that I'll bet when you're experimenting with your essential oils and your fragrances and you're inventing a new fragrance and you're steeped in that and you're doing that and making notes and everything, I bet that's a moment where you're carried away. Because that's very expansive. It's where
discovery.
You're learning something new.
Yeah.
Yes, it's discovery. It's learning. It's finding something new. I find that when I'm cooking, I leave myself. When I'm working in my garden, I leave myself.
Yeah.
I don't have a cat anymore, but my cats were an endless source of deep and abiding joy in my life. I think animals are a place where people are taken away from themselves when they look into the face of a loved animal. And all I can compare it to is when I look into the faces of my flowers, of my plants in the garden, or my cycads here in the bay window, when I'm home in the bay window looking at, my plants in New York. I feel a deep, deep, abiding joy, still and quiet and overwhelming, and it's both humbling and it makes me feel very big, and it makes me feel very small in a wonderful way. We're looking at the stars at night, especially by the ocean, I feel deeply, deeply joyful, and I feel big and part of the universe, and I feel small. And wonderfully small, though. I don't mind being a small speck in a huge universe. It's like all of those things contrasting, and it just is overwhelming and beautiful to me. What were you going to say, Gwen?
Well, do you know what the Dalai Lama, who I happen to like this guy very much, do you know what he would tell you? He would tell you that you are experiencing true, true meditation with all those descriptions. And
I agree.
That's meditation does heal. And you know what? They're teaching kids, instead of putting them in detention these days in a lot of forward-thinking schools, they are taking, especially children, And instead of timeout or whatnot, they are teaching them forms of meditation. Isn't that amazing?
I love that. Much more useful and much more positive and much more constructive. I love quotes. You know how I love quotes from famous people. One of my favorite quotes is by Isak Dinesen, also known as Karen Blitzen, the character, of course, that Meryl Streep played in Out of Africa, the famous author. And her famous quote is, salt water can cure anything. Tears, sweat, and the ocean can cure anything. And I think that's a great thing. Think of it. Tears, sweat, or the ocean. Salt water cures everything. And I think that's a wonderful quote. And I find that to be very true. Very true.
My grandmother, Amelia, who stands over my left shoulder, always said that if anything was wrong with you physically, get down to the beach, get to the ocean. But do you know that in actuality, when you cry, especially emotionally cry, you are releasing poisons from your body?
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
My favorite emotion of all of them is happy tears. I love crying when I see beauty or when I see, I'm more likely to cry when I am moved by joy, when I see an animal that I love, or I see a child laughing, a baby laughing, or I see a brilliant, brilliant performance. I am stunned into tears by beauty. There are times where I'll see something beautiful and my heart will be so full that I will tear up simply from the sheer joy and beauty of something. It overwhelms me. So I love, as they say in Steel Magnolias, well, my favorite emotion is crying. Happy tears? Or what is it that Dolly Parton says? She says, I love crying when I'm happy. That's great
right.
quote.
Yeah.
We're waiting for a call right now, but I want to say that I know that our listeners are going to be happy to know that Gwendolyn, who lives in Port St. Lucie in Florida, survived the Hurricane Dorian with only minor. You only had like wind and some spray, right? It turned out not to be very bad for you. Is that correct?
We had some. Boy, I'll tell you, 2 days coming up to it, though, the lightning storms. I've grown up down here, and I've lived in New York and in Florida and back and forth, but I was more frightened of the lightning in New York because it would hit so close, and I guess we were higher up. But the lightning down here, and I know we're the most lightning state, has never...
Right.
Not like it came up on it and knew something bad was coming. We got gusts that went up to about 100, but it was nothing compared to what happened to those folks. I grew up island hopping as a kid on the boat in the Bahamas. And to everyone listening tonight, please do your best to just have good thoughts and send your best and do whatever you can to help the people of the Bahamas. They're nothing but, you know, Mommy, the Bahamas are a load of little sandbars, and some are bigger than others, but they're basically sandbars. And where the trench comes up so close to the surface. And it's devastating what's happening. It's devastating.
Yes, but the Bahamas have always been barely above sea level. And for our own experience in this country, the entire state of Florida is basically above sea level. The Outer Banks of North Carolina are sandbars. Fire Island, that you hear me doing my Tourette's on, Fire Island is a sandbar that is 37 miles long and about 100 yards wide. You can walk from one side of Fire Island to the other in 4 minutes flat at the most. So it's literally a strip of sand with almost no vehicles on it at all. There's 17 towns on Fire Island. It's 34 miles, and these towns are built on boardwalks. They don't even have roads. So this is all very vulnerable. And of course, what we've seen in the Bahamas is catastrophic. I'm not sure that the islands that were destroyed will ever be okay. I don't even know where they're going to put the waste material.
I don't know how these places
clear away the debris. What do you do with the debris in a place like that?
Barges to where? That's the point.
So they throw them in the ocean. Oh, that's a solution.
Yeah, they will go to the abyss. There's the Laurentine stretches are a few miles off, nautical miles, like about 80 nautical miles to the east of them. And they'll probably dump them there. I mean, they've done it before.
But the problem with that is that the plastics will last for 1,000 years. They'll begin to particleize. They will then get into fish. What we're seeing is that we've been doing that nonstop with everything, not only with our kitchen garbage, but with every tornado and hurricane and earthquake. We simply shovel everything either into landfill or into the ocean, or into the Great Lakes or wherever. And of course, what's happening is we're just beginning to drown in our own shit. Excuse my language. We're simply drowning in our own industrial crap, that stuff that is not biodegradable, stuff that is not eaten by some organism or plankton. It, you know, you can flush sewage down in the river and have it be eaten by something, but you can't have a plastic Poland Spring bottle.
But
I'm
you
sorry?
Have heard about the students over in Ireland who have developed the biochemical that will eat the plastic, the microplastics out of the ocean.
There are microbes that they're creating that are hopefully going to be able to eat plastics, because of course plastic is carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, and hydrogen for the most part, and that's what we're made of. It's basically organic. It's just that it's been put into chains that are not biodegradable, but they're trying to create microbes and plankton that will eat these things without upsetting the balance of the nature. Can you imagine? They begin eating that, and then they eat whales, and they eat, you know, they start eating everything. So we may have, you know, wiped out the planet
with our own mad
scientistness.
Actually, I think they've had like 3 years of progressively successful and completely successful trial runs on this. But then again, they have only been using basins and, you know, man-made, you know, aquatic testing grounds for these. One never knows what's going into the water as those biodegradables become really, you know, they dissolve the plastic, but then how do the fish swim through it? You know, what's going to happen there? We don't know. I saw a picture of somebody who caught I can't remember what type of fish it was, but it was, of course, something like snapper or whatever over in the Gulf. After the horrendous Horizon event and the Corexit material, which has been getting the flesh-eating disease everywhere, they pulled a fish up with two heads. And it was actually a vital, strong, swimming fish with two heads and some nasty-looking teeth on it. And I'm thinking, you know, at first I thought it was a production an FX kind of thing. And it's true.
Right.
It's real.
Well, I do know that for years they've had a bacteria that eats uranium, which is extraordinary, that they actually discovered. They didn't make it, but they found a bacteria of some sort that consumes uranium. And somehow, I don't know how it processes it, but it does that. And so nature is infinitely fascinating and can be infinitely terrifying. And we'll see what happens. Gwendolyn and I, ladies and gentlemen, often talk about, you know, what is going to happen to, you know, the next generation and the next generation after that. So it's going to be fascinating. Do we have any phone calls at all? I thought we had one.
No.
None right
didn't.
Now. I'm going to give them the phone number one more time. Call in, if you're listening, call in at 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. And tell us what fills you with joy. I was telling you folks that my gardening, you know, I post my Tourette's for all of you, and I make them very silly and fun. But I must tell you, when I'm in my garden and I find, you know, a praying mantis tucked in that scaviola at the entryway, that makes me feel so happy. I love watching the butterflies this year. We've had a nicer crop of butterflies, not the way they were 10 years ago, but much nicer. And we still are looking for bees. I don't have nearly as many bees as I used to have. I know that everyone's frightened right now about triple E, the equine encephalitis virus that's going around that is mosquito-borne. But I would like you to try, as citizens of your towns, to resist the urge of spraying for mosquitoes. They keep showing it on, tonight. They did it on. Yeah, they did it on Lester Holt. Had, you know, on the NBC, and they say, and the latest thing on the equine, you know, the triple E, what's the third word, equine encephalitis, whatever. They show graphics of, you know, mosquitoes in a petri dish, and then they show the lab, and they show, but they always show someone fogging for mosquitoes. It's like, that is not the solution. You're killing everything. You're killing frogs and toads. You're killing dragonflies. You're killing everything that – you're killing bats. You're killing everything that would kill mosquitoes. We've got to get back into a balance
and
in nature.
You're giving allergies to little children too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, birds are gone. Everything is gone. So let's not spray for mosquitoes, which is the only species that comes right back. No sooner do you spray, everything's gone, but the mosquitoes make a complete turnaround and come right back. Let's use DEET. Let's use OFF or 612 on our skins. If you don't want to use that, use lavender oil and citronella oil. Use herbal oils, the essential oils. There's a whole array of them. If you go on the computer, you could Google that and find all sorts of things, both in the garden and on your clothes, that will repel mosquitoes. Just like peppermint oil repels spiders. Spiders are not happy to be in the house when you put peppermint oil around. Well, believe me, if you use essential oils, you can get rid of mosquitoes. They won't come near you. Put them at your pulse points, behind your ears, at your throat, your armpits, on your wrists, on your ankles, behind your knees, and on the inside of your elbows. Use essential oils. You will not be bothered by mosquitoes. And you can do that, and that's better than, you know, poisoning the environment with spraying and fogging. Out on Fire Island, the grove, the Cherry Grove, does not spray for mosquitoes. The town next to us, the Pines, is notorious for fogging for mosquitoes. It's just ridiculous, ridiculous. So,
well,
you know, apropos of that, please try to resist that.
A wonderful blend to use, very easy for anybody to get their hands on, is the lemongrass and eucalyptus. Mix the two together.
Yes, yes.
And
hey, you know what, Gwendolyn?
Just get a
Gwendolyn, do you sell one? Do you sell a mosquito repellent on Daughters of Isis?
No, I actually don't, but my Lyptus Breeze Mist will actually do the trick. It's pretty much the same. It has a bit of tea tree in it, too. But if you...
Well, I got to tell you, Skin, as we all found out, Avon was putting out Skin So Soft as a moisturizer for the skin, and they found out by accident that it was a strong mosquito repellent. So that's the for those of you that don't know that story...
It gets
you remember
sleep.
That, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. But Skin So Soft,
I mean,
is hard to find, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why. But I'll tell you, their stock went through the roof. When they found out that Skin So Soft was repelling mosquitoes, it was like a miracle, a miracle. I wonder, I should go on Google and find out why it's hard to find. But folks, if you can find Skin So Soft, that is a tremendous mosquito repellent. And as Gwendolyn said, check out daughtersofisis.com. Gwendolyn, maybe you should consider with your board of directors of coming out with one to is bug be gone. That's like
that's
bug
actually,
be gone or something.
That's an actual patented name. And I can tell your listeners where they can get a completely essential oil. One of my old suppliers out in Oregon, Medicine Flower, makes it. It's called Bug Be Gone. And it has
funny.
Eucalyptus. eucalyptus and lemongrass in it, and it's really wonderful stuff. And basically, people can make it for themselves too. All they have to do is get themselves a spray bottle and put some eucalyptus drops, like 10, and lemongrass, 10 drops, into, you know, 4-ounce bottle, shake it up and spray it around themselves, and the mosquitoes will stay away.
Well, that's great. I wish I had patented or copyrighted that name, Bug Be Gone. I could make a fortune off that.
It's a good one.
But Gwendolyn, it's not enough. People, not everybody wants to make their own wonderful essential oil concoctions. They want to buy the packaging. They like knowing that they got it from daughtersofisis.com. You know, so don't take the fun out of it for them. They want to get one of your charming bottles with the spray, pump.
The Liptus Breeze from my medicine oil collection.
There you go, folks at home.
That's the one.
All right, we'll chart that. Let's watch between now and Monday. Let's see how the chart on sales on that goes, Gwendolyn. We'll have to talk to the sales department and see, and the shipping department and see what exactly has happened. All right, boys and girls, I'm going to give you the number one more time. It is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. Our sponsor, of course, as always, is daughtersofisis.com. We are now going to be on Monday nights, again, as we always have been, at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time or whatever. That won't be going on for much longer. And then when we turn our clocks back, remember, it's spring forward, fall back. That's coming up soon, or maybe not. Maybe it's coming up at the end of October, beginning of November. But anyway, look for us every Monday night right here. We'll always post the link, and it's 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time and 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. California is 5 o'clock p.m., so people are listening to us in the car as they're driving home from work. I also want to remind you all that you can find daughtersofisis.com on Facebook. They have their own Facebook page, and Mummy has her pages, not only her home page, but she also has a Symbol Brunch and professional page. And we also have a page which everyone seems to really be liking, and that is Symbol Brunch's Lollipop Guild page. It's a page devoted totally to happiness and joy and what our topic is tonight. Post a recipe there. Put pictures there of your brand new newborn grandson or your litter of kittens or the flowers that you're growing in your garden or your Christmas tree. Post anything you want there that makes people feel happy and lovely. We're trying to stay away from politics. It's so tempting to put political cartoons on that page, but we're going to have to resist that because Mummy made a rule when I formed that page that it would be non-denominational, it would be not political. If we post something that is, you know, anti-Washington and anti-Mitch McConnell, then we have to post something that is anti-Obama. So let's just avoid all of that on that page
and just make it joy.
You know?
We do have a caller.
What were you saying? I'm sorry. That's wonderful. I'll take
waiting.
That caller. Hello, caller.
Hi, it's Lori. Lauren.
How are you?
Good. How are you? How was your summer?
It was busy and strange. And, you know, for me, I know that I've used my Tourette's now. Everything I post on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, I use them as a journal. So I can go back and see that, in fact, it was not a blank. It didn't whirl by, you know, uneventfully. And yet somehow it was still a blur. So I know that I accomplished things. I know I grew a garden. I knew that I traveled all over the United States for work with George. But I somehow the summer still slipped through my fingers. And it's a distressing metaphor, I guess, for life in general. How was your summer?
Very strange.
Strange.
I'm not downsizing, but trying to get rid of things. If you can understand the difference, I don't know if it's that I have too much or I just can't find a place to put anything anymore. But I gave a lot away. I have a friend that has an antique store who's selling some things to me, but unfortunately, I'm still in the middle of it. So. But I did.
Lauren, I have a question for you. because I, my biggest failing, I've never been a heavy drinker. I've done drugs. I've done everything, but I've never been obsessed or addicted to anything. The only addiction I've ever had is to beautiful things. I love antiques. I love collecting things. I love finding strange, wonderful objects and vintage things and things that have history to them. It eats me alive because I love beauty like that. I don't even obsess over clothes as much as I do as for things for my home. Was it gruesome to get rid of things? Did it break your heart? Did it feel like your soul was tearing apart?
Well, I'm not really getting rid of anything I feel that way about. It's more I'm looking at things and saying, okay, I've had this for 40 years. Do I need to still have this? Or, you know, does it give me joy? Does it make me happy? Do I still
right.
want to own it? If I don't care, then it's really not hard. And a lot of things I had were things that I had inherited from other people and didn't have the heart to give away because it was from other people. And I
right.
don't know, maybe I've seen so many hoarding shows or something that I finally said, I don't
yeah.
need to have this. Why do I have to have other people's lives
well,
here?
Well, there's an old saying, and it's a very good one, that we don't own our possessions. Our possessions own us. And that is very true, that we are owned by our things. You know. And as you get older, as one gets older, you begin to divest yourself of things, unless of course you are a terminal hoarder. You know, there are people that are, the Collier brothers died in their possessions, basically. You know, they were buried alive by their stuff. But, you know, that makes sense. That makes sense what you were saying. You know, as things become less important, you can say goodbye to them more easily. I understand that. That's true. Were the things you were getting rid of, were they clothing or accessories or jewelry, or were they furniture?
Well, not so much. Jewelry's been not quite the thing. And I don't really I haven't gotten there yet. I've just really been going through my garage and my shed, and I had boxes and boxes of things that I had moved in with 25 years ago and sort of never opened or knew what was there and didn't need to look there. And I finally said, this is really ridiculously stupid. So a sweet boy who shovels snow for me in the winter, a neighbor, came to me and said, I didn't get a summer job this summer that I wanted. Do you have anything you need me to do? And I said, don't get a job. I'm your job for the summer. And so we worked 4 mornings a week from 8 till 11, which killed both of us, but we did it. And we got through a lot of things, and I was meticulous about going through everything and washing everything and deciding whether I was going to donate it or if I was going to give it to my friend to sell. And he got many things. He and his family got many
great.
Things. Because some of it was things like power tools that weren't my father's power tools, which, you know, it's kind of like, I'm not going to use some of them. I might a drill or something, but not power tools. So I gave them all away, and it was really not hard. And it made me happy to give them to the people I was giving it to, and they were happy. And so we cleared up a lot. But we're not.
I have a question for you. I want to ask you a quick question, and this is apropos of the question that was about the show tonight. What gives you joy? If there was a fire in your home, and you had to run in and get one object that absolutely, well, let's make it easier, 3 objects that absolutely are precious to you and fill you with joy just to look at them or hold them in your hand, and that are things you could not give away to an antique shop or to the local charity, 3 things that you absolutely would want to have and would risk running back into a fire to grab them and go back out on the front lawn, what would the 3 things be for you?
Besides the dog.
No. Three objects. Yes, obviously a dog, a kitty would be. No. Those don't count. Three objects.
My aunt's brass lamp, which I used to polish with her when I was a very intricately carved lamp that I used to polish with her when I was little. And I have a love for that. I don't know what else. I mean, it's the first thing I just happen to look at that and say, oh, I would have to grab that.
Post a picture of that on your Facebook page so I can see it. Okay. And say, for mummy, this is the lamp I would run into a fire. This is my aunt's beautiful brass lamp. I would love to see what it looks like. That's lovely.
We kind of rescued this lamp because it had just deteriorated and that my cousin had it for it was some her mother's lamp. And she had it and she just let it turn green. And it just looked awful. And when she died, her son sent, I said to her, him, can I have it? And he sent it to me. And a friend of mine, it's not everything it should be, but he polished it for me and rewired and everything. So that would be
Was it originally a kerosene lamp or an oil lamp?
No.
Is it an antique?
It was my aunt married in like 1931, and I think it was part of her original.
Oh, trousseau, her wedding, yeah.
It has an octagonal base, and it was on an octagonal table. I don't know.
That's nice.
You know, I don't know what the period of it would be, but it just is very intricate. But it's more the memory of polishing it with her.
That's lovely.
Try not to get the wax into the holes, you know, kind of thing. Anyway.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
But, of course, photographs. I think photographs would
of
be
course.
A major,
yes.
Probably the biggest thing, which would be really hard because I have a lot of family pictures. And maybe my favorite painting. I don't know how I'd have to do like 10 trips to do these things. I have a lot of
So it went from 3 items to 10 trips. Okay. Well, there you go.
But the photographs alone would be several trips, but, I have the paintings I want to, you know, save. So, I would be probably artwork more than anything. That would hurt the most to lose.
Yes, very much so. Thank you for calling in. That is so great. I know exactly what you mean.
I called because I wanted to tell you now that, never mind Bug Be Gone, why not Bye Bye Bug?
Yes, that's good. And I like that. I also like Bug Out. I also like Bug Out.
That's good.
And, of course, the old one is Flit, which is an old product from the 1930s. Flit was a spray for flies and bugs and everything.
Oh, yeah,
but
so. Long pump?
Yes. It had a pump or something sort of thing, but Flit, F-L-I-T. And it was a sponsor of things like What's My Line or To Tell the Truth or something, I remember. But anyway, thank you for calling in tonight, Lauren.
It was lovely talking to you. Have a good evening.
It was lovely hearing from you. Thank you again. Have a good night.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
We are down to the wire here, so we're going to be wrapping up soon. I want to remind everyone to please join me on my Facebook page and on my Instagram and my Twitter accounts. We are going to be having some announcements pretty soon about some Sybil Brunchen projects that are pretty exciting. I am working right now, and I can't reveal too much because we're contacting lawyers who are going to help us copyright things and do a bunch of legality about a project that we're doing. But I will tell you that I am working with some performers that I have known and loved for a long time, one in particular, and we are putting together a show which we will announce as soon as it is ready to go on the boards. We will be premiering the show in New York. We're not even going to mention the club yet, but we are already negotiating a date for our first performance. So we will keep you posted. So do tell your friends and put on your own calendar to join us here on Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, daylight time. And you will be able to, we'll keep you posted about the progress of that project. And that'll be very exciting. I was going to, do we have any more calls?
No, Gwendolyn? We're clear. We're clear at the moment.
Okay, well, we're going to, one thing I think that Gwendolyn and I have decided is that we're going to see what happens. Last season, we had a 50-50 thing. We had people who loved us being very political and outspoken and, you know, very, very, very cacophonous on this show about the political situation and making sure that we were nailing the ones who the wrongdoers and letting people know. And there were other people that wanted to call in and hear dessert recipes. So there's no, you know, I got to tell you something. I hope we don't get in trouble here on Blog Talk Radio. But it reminds me of my agent, Peggy, used to say, Sybil, opinions are like assholes. Everyone's got one and they all stink. And that was her advice in show business. And I thought that was such a great quote. You know, there's no way. There are people that think Meryl Streep is the most awkward, strange, and untalented performer of all time. There are people that think she is the giant of the late 20th, early 21st century. There's no pleasing everyone about everything. So we can't, you know, dial ourselves left and right from A to Z, trying to please all of our listeners. But we are eager to hear from you. It's amazing how opinionated people are, and then they don't call in. That's one thing that Gwendolyn and I think hysterical. You all have opinions and don't call in. So I don't quite know how to adjust the show when we are so open to people's opinions and then we don't hear from you. That is puzzling to me. So I have to take your notes and your advice with a grain of salt and sometimes with a whole shaker full of salt because it's ridiculous. You would be amazed at the mail I get on Tuesday mornings on my Facebook page, private messages left and right from people. You should have said, you could have done, you would have been, you would have been. It's like, oh yeah, where was your phone call? Okay. So having said that, right? Isn't that infuriating, Gwendolyn? So having said that, you know, I will be glad to adjust. Gwendolyn and I are very open to adjusting the show this way and that if we hear from you. And so we will look forward to you participating in the show, and that will be lovely. I want to remind you that we are very lucky to be here because of Gwendolyn, who came to me over a year ago and asked me if I would like to do a show with her because I've had such a vast broadcast background all the way back into cable and everything when there were only 10 channels all listed as letters, A through J. And it was Robin Bird, Al Goldstein, and me on Time Warner Cable. So I just want to remind you that we are all here through the grace of Gwendolyn Holdenberry, my producer and muse, and of course, and daughtersofisis.com, the fragrant memories of our
and the
yesteryears.
Universe.
I keep wanting to say the fragrant memories of our yesteryears, but it's ancestors. And I wonder why that is, because my own ancestors were pilgrims. And I joke about that because they were all pills and they were certainly grim. So perhaps I have an aversion to the word ancestors because you should go immediately to daughtersofisis.com and check out their wonderful products. And remember what Gwendolyn advised you about mosquito repellent. And by the way, I'm going to be in Memphis and Nashville where the temperature is going to be 98 this week. So I'm going to be taking stuff there for the mosquitoes. And apparently the Northeast is going to have a little last bash of summer. And so out on Fire Island, we're going to have mosquitoes too. So if you're worried about mosquitoes, take Gwendolyn's advice. And remember that lemongrass and eucalyptus Is that correct? Did I get it right? Lemongrass and eucalyptus?
Yes.
And citronella is also an oil that you can do.
Yes, it is.
And lavender, apparently. And peppermint.
And
another one that is a very big one is the essential oils. Rosemary is a mosquito repellent. That's why people plant things like marigold, rosemary. And what's the other herb that they plant in their gardens that repels mosquitoes? I know that marigolds are very effective. Marigolds make mosquitoes miserable. They can't bear it. I can't think of what the other one is. Something like, you know, sage or something like that in the garden is very repellent to bugs. Nature is so wonderful. We've got our cures all around us, if only we would look. But we'll keep you posted on all of that. We're in our last few minutes. Gwendolyn, do you have anything you want to quickly say to our home audience now that we're back on the air in this fall?
Well, I would suggest that everybody stay safe because we need to in our society right now. And also keep your eyes focused on the weather, because the weather is volatile right now, and especially down in my territory. Keep your eyes open and stay safe, very much so.
There's one other thing I'd like Gwendolyn to briefly tell us about, and that is the shift in what is going to be coming our way. You said we were talking about it at the beginning of the show. Tell us about the shift that you see in what's going to happen soon.
Well, in the next year, actually next year and a half, of course, we're coming to the end of an astrological square that's been changing everything for 20 years. And but what I said to you was we're a cosmic minute away from a full paradigm shift. I think the consciousness of the planet is shifting, and you can see it everywhere. In this country, and good Lord, look what Hong Kong, what the people of Hong Kong are doing. It's an enough is enough moment. And that means it's not an easy thing to go through. This is not a joyride. And yet at the end of it, this shift will bring us back into a harmony, especially with our planet. And it's not going to be an easy ride. There's going to be a lot going on, but there's also going to be a lot of wonderful things that come from it. So we're about a cosmic minute away from that. We are no longer as isolated as people would. This is why these fear people, these fear mongers want to isolate so much, because there is an emerging global culture, and that's where we belong. Is in an emerging global culture. We can't avoid it. We all know each other. I know people that are hanging out in the Lollipop Guild for Subtle Brunch and Lollipop Guild that come from half a world away. You know?
Yes.
I talk to them.
Yes. And our own listeners. Gwendolyn, you told me last spring that we had listeners from all around the world. We have, and I'm contacted by them. There are people listening to us who are on the other side of the earth right now. It's 8 in the morning there, and they're listening to our show right now. I mean, that is just, it's so heartening. It makes me quite emotional, actually. You talk about, you know, tears of joy. That will, when I hear that, it makes me feel so happy for Gwendolyn and me, you know, that we have listeners from all around the world, all the different time zones, who tune in and listen to us. So that is nice, isn't it, Gwendolyn?
Yeah, so keep that in mind. We're all going through this shift, and while we are, just stay seated and grounded in yourself, in your own good self. And be safe and kind. Be safe and kind. Also, let go of the anger, too, when you have to, and get into that voting booth. Get into that voting booth.
Yes, Gwendolyn is very much about letting go of the anger. I am, too, but I like to let go of it by using my fists. There you go. but that's Mummy. Mummy likes to let go of her anger by breaking things in other people's homes. But that's a topic for next week. And that's why I'm going to accept Mitch O'Connell's invitation to dinner. I can't wait to get into their dining room and take a look at their expensive china. All right, darlings, we're in the home stretch. We're countdown now. Gwendolyn, I hope the orchestra's ready with our theme song. I want to remind you that we will see you next week, Monday, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. It will become now Don't Soak right here on the Here Be Monsters. We're part of that family, and we're on Blog Talk Radio. So thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us. And Gwendolyn, good night. I love you, darling. Have a wonderful week.
I love you, Mommy. Good night.
Good night, everybody.